AVEMariaRadio.net.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm your host, Sandra McDevitt. Today, a young American soldier meets a young girl on the day of her first communion and explains to him that they are both children of the Queen. Stay tuned to see what she means on another Story from the Heart. Children of the Queen. It was a beautiful day in May in the year 1919. The Paris streets were still full of the khaki uniforms of the gallant American soldiers who had helped so valiantly to bring about the great victory of the First World War. On that particular morning, countless little first communicants were adding their innocent charm to all the glories of nature. They looked just like tall white lilies amongst all the other flowers, thought Lieutenant Ralph Colston, as he looked down from his vantage point at the dainty snow-white damsels. Most of them must be about Dulcie's age, he then reflected, and the thought came to him of his pretty little sister with her blue eyes and golden curls. But Dulcie was not Catholic, nor was he. She would never don one of those snowy veils, nor would her rosy, laughing face ever wear that look of serene gravity, full of childish consciousness of the great act accomplished that day of receiving our Lord in Holy Communion. At the 12 strokes of noon, the Angelus chimed forth from different churches, and he was reminded that he was due at that very hour to lunch with friends at the other end of Paris. He sped up the Rue de Longchamp in quest of a taxi, but not one was on the stand, and all those that whisked past him had their little red flags down and were occupied. When a taxi finally stopped, out stepped the fairest of all the little first communicants whom he had been admiring. There was an angelic quality about her beauty. She was accompanied by a distinguished-looking officer, wearing a black mourning band upon the sleeve of his uniform. He must be the father, and perhaps that poor child has no mother, thought Ralph. Ralph quickly took possession of the taxi, giving the driver the address where his friends were impatiently awaiting his arrival. Ralph was haunted by the memory of the lovely face of the first communicant, seen only for a few brief seconds, but it had become enshrined in his heart. He had been absently looking out of the window, lost in thought, when a chance movement made him cast his eyes downward, and there he saw a small white object. He saw that it was a dainty leather case with the letters M.R. surmounted by a crown shiny in gold upon the white ground. Why, it must be my little first communicant's purse, thought the young soldier. She must be a princess to have a crown like that over her initials. M.R. Marie Rose, perhaps. Little Princess Marie Rose. What a pretty name. His musings were interrupted by his taxi stopping in front of a restaurant where a group of friends were on the lookout for him. Awfully sorry, old chaps, but I can't stop now. I've got an important commission for a princess. Giving the driver directions back, he soon found himself in front of the house which had swallowed up his apparition in white. He knocked at the door. It was opened by a woman to whom he held out his newly found treasure, saying, "Can I see the princess? I have brought back her purse." The woman looked at him in puzzled surprise, and then, her eyes falling upon the tiny white case, replied, "Oh, but how pleased little mamselle will be. Her maid told me just now that she was crying bitterly over her loss." Signing to the tall young soldier to follow her, she led the way into the charming dining room, where, at a flower-bedecked table, shining with glass and silver, lifts up a little white robed princess and her father. Here's a happy surprise for you, mademoiselle. The little girl looked at the big form in khaki with amazement written on her beautiful blue eyes overbrimming with tears. Ralph wondered whether he ought to bend his knee to his little princess. In doubt, he refrained from doing so and merely held out his big hand. I found your purse in the taxi, princess, and have brought it back to you. The child sprang to her feet joyfully, and taking her possession from him, said in tones of rapture, "Oh, how can I thank you enough? I was so sad over my loss, and you cannot imagine what happiness you have given me." Then, opening the little case, she took out a dainty object in mother of pearl and silver, which she bore devoutly to her rosy lips, as she added, "As you see, it is not a purse. It contains my mother's rosary. My beautiful mother, who died only a few months ago," murmured the young voice with a sorrowful sigh, continuing in a lighter tone, "But why do you call me princess?" "Because of the crown over your initials, M.R.," explained Ralph simply. "I thought that your name must be Princess Marie Rose, and that you must be a queen's daughter." "Oh, what a funny mistake!" Then she added thoughtfully, "Yet, in a way, you're right. But what a lot to explain to you, for I see you are not a Catholic. Papa, may I invite my soldier to lunch?" The officer had been watching the short scene with interest, his dark, melancholy eyes resting tenderly upon his little daughter. At her last words, he gave a sign of smiling acquiescence, motioning to the servants to lay another place at the dainty table, and soon Ralph found himself sitting opposite the little girl. "This is the greatest day of my life," his youthful hostess declared. "And had we not been in mourning for darling Mama, we should have at a real festival in honor of my first Holy Communion. And yet I felt sad at making so little difference. And you see how my two mothers in heaven sent their little girl, a guest after all, to share it with." "Your two mothers?" asked Ralph. "Yes, my two mothers. Our Blessed Mother, the Mother of Jesus, who is the mother of us all, and my own sweet mother, whom she took to be near to herself only a short time ago." Ralph was speechless, for in a few minutes the simple, natural way of talking about holy things, and he fell out of his depth. To say something, Ralph at last blurted out, "You're not a princess after all?" "Of course not." "Yes, I said just now that, in a way, you were right. For after all, I am a queen's daughter, and the initials and crown you saw are hers, M.R. Maria Regina, the Blessed Virgin Mary, our Holy Mother, who is Queen of Heaven. And you, too, are of royal blood, since you are her son." A little later on in the drawing room, Colette pointed to two frames, one containing the portrait of a sweet-faced woman, and the other a beautiful picture of the Madonna and Child. "There are my two mothers," she said softly. Then, sitting down beside her new friend, she explained in her pretty, childish voice how Catholics love their Heavenly Mother and pray to her as the most blessed among women, the most beautiful, the most holy, the most loving, sinless, yet the refuge of sinners, the Mother of Sorrows and the Consoler of the Sorrowful. All the love of all the tenderest mothers who have ever lived could not approach the love of our Heavenly Mother for one single soul, she said. Is not that marvelous? And she loves you like that, although you've never even thought of her, nor prayed to her. And yet, even her love is nothing compared to the love of God. Ralph felt dumbfounded. He'd never thought of the Mother of Jesus in this way. "I should so like you to come to church with us this afternoon, and then you would hear me pronounce the act of consecration to our Blessed Lady in the name of all my little companions after we have renewed our baptismal vows." The afternoon's beautiful ceremony surpassed all the young soldier's expectations. If he had thought those human lilies fair before, how incomparably more lovely he thought them kneeling together by scores in the wonderful atmosphere of the magnificent church, with the dear little serious boys wearing those symbolical white ribbons on their arms, kneeling on the opposite side of the aisle. The sight of them touched him, too, and he could not help hoping that they might never know the horrors of war. His princess, of course, was the loveliest, and he watched her tenderly. His heart stirred with emotion when at last he saw her advance to the steps of the altar between two other white robed maidens bearing light tapers, and he listened to that clear, treble voice pronouncing the solemn words of consecration to Heaven's Queen. "I offer you their hearts and mine," rang out those silvery tones, and Ralph's big hand furtively brushed away a tear. He saw from the first that what pleased Colette most was to answer his questions about her holy faith, and what he began partly out of devotion to her, he continued from a really ardent wish to learn the doctrines of the Catholic Church. With such a zealous little teacher and such an eager pupil, progress could but be rapid, and soon Ralph called on the superior of the English Passionist Fathers with a view to obtaining regular instruction. It would be difficult to say who was the happier, the young soldier or his little princess, on the great day of his reception into the church, quickly followed by his first communion and confirmation. Soon it was time for all the American troops to leave France. But Ralph had a new mission, to reveal the sacred truth to his mother and sister. That was his new and cherished conspiracy with Colette, who promised to help him with her prayers, and who declared that her two mothers would certainly bring about the so ardently desired conversion. At last it was Ralph's goodbye visit, and he had come to say farewell to his little princess, looking almost like the angelic apparition of their first meeting, arrayed in spotless white as she was on that warm summer day. Colette, smiling, held out the two little parcels, bidding Ralph open them. The larger of the two contained a silver-framed photograph of a first communicant standing erect in her white dress. "Signed, your little sister Colette." The smaller packet contained a tiny white leather case with those mysterious letters, M.R., Maria Regina, and a crown in shining gold. Colette said, "I had my own rosary and case exactly copied for you to give Dulcie on the day of her first communion, when she too will consecrate herself to our most blessed mother, the Queen of Heaven." Joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's story was written by Contessa Dusanos and published in the Messenger of the Sacred Heart magazine. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. For information or to donate publications or stories, email sandra@avemariaradio.net. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For 2 years, we've recorded nearly every show from Ave Maria Radio. Just click on the audio archives message located at the center of our homepage. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.
Men, are you concerned about these difficult financial times? A popular culture that preaches immorality? Your family's present and future well-being? It can be altogether overwhelming. But there is an answer. Prayer is the answer. Christ is the answer. You're invited to join the Men of the Upper Room for a Christ Our Hope prayer hour. We're meeting every first Friday morning. Stand together with other concerned men from all over the Detroit and Ann Arbor area in prayer, scripture, and song. Our next gathering is Friday, August 7th. We're meeting in the lower chapel at the St. John Center and at other locations around the metro area. For a complete list of locations and help in starting a new prayer location, go to ChristChosen.com. Seek the source of our hope and stand together against the culture of death. The men will pray from 6 to 7 a.m., so you still have your full day ahead of you. Pray for our country. Pray for the culture and finances. Pray